Hey everybody, this is Wade with Wade for Wireless, and today I want to talk about the business of sprint densification. When I say sprint densification, I'm talking about the carrier sprint and their plan to densify, and just some pros and cons and some realities. You know, there's been a lot of talk about it. I just want to talk about the reality. But first, I want to thank my sponsors, Tower Safety and Instruction, and their website is at towersafety.com. Go to towersafety.com and make sure you let them know I sent you, for one. Also, look into all the training they have, because they're going to come out with drone training for the tower industry. How cool is that? Drone training for the tower industry. They also do other training. They do all the safety, CPR, first aid, OSHA. They also do, of course, tower training and rescue, you know, rescue training on the tower and things like that. Towersafety.com. My other sponsor I want to thank is Tower Tracker Pro. Tower Tracker Pro for your closeout packages. Now, what it will do, as something as simple as, say, your iPhone or your Android phone, it will guide you through the closeout package. And when I say you, I'm talking to the tower climbers. And you can also look at everything pretty much real time as they take pictures and they upload it. Someone can check it out. The whole idea here is to have something that not only guides you through it, basically lists out everything you need to get it completed in one day, so you don't have to make a second visit, upload it to a server, so if someone in the office has to look at it, they can verify the pictures are correct, clear, and it'll all automatically resize the pictures. It's pretty cool. But anyways, so you have real-time quality assurance right there. Someone who can check it out immediately. You also, if you follow this, Tower Site in One Day has a lot of other features too. So towertracker.pro, the link is in my blog at Wade for Wireless. And this blog is, again, the business of sprint densification. Now, densification is a big word, but what it basically is a way to expand, for sprint to expand. And sprint's not the first one to do this. In fact, sprint's just the first one to call it densification. Verizon Wireless has been doing this for a while because they're doing their what they call ODAS, which is really the C-RAN. And what C-RAN is where they have a concentrated RAN, radio access network. It's a BBU in one location and a bunch of radio heads spread throughout the city. Sprint's been doing this for a while. I'm sorry. Verizon's been doing this for a while. Verizon actually, you know, they've been doing it for the past year and they're doing a good job at it. So why does Sprint get all the publicity? Because Sprint is like a soap opera. They're always in trouble. They always seem to be in dire straits. I mean, we're always watching them. It's very exciting. And you know what? Because of all the action, we're always writing about them. We're always talking about them, myself included. So here's the deal. They had an earnings call. And the earnings call went well because Sprint wasn't doing as bad as everyone thought. They did reduce churn, which is huge. You know, I will give Marcelo Claré a lot of credit for that. Churn has been greatly reduced. Probably the lowest it's been at Sprint ever, I think he said in the call. And I have a link to the call in there if you're interested. I think that Sprint isn't as bad off as we thought. You know, we originally thought that they were done for. They were doomed, and maybe they still are. Who knows? But I think the way I see it is they're trying to make a lot of changes, and part of those changes are where they laid off about 2,500 people, mostly in the customer service arena. That's a lot of people. They've been doing that over the past couple months, and I think the customer service people probably aren't too happy about it. But what's interesting is that Sprint is going to hire back about 1,300 people. The reason I find that interesting is just, you know, it's they get rid of one and they add another. But what it is, it's a shift in the jobs, right? So the people they're going to hire back, it looks like salespeople from what I read in RCR magazine, and also more engineers. And I'll tell you what, I know a lot of project managers and engineers at Sprint. They're all greatly, in my opinion, they're overworked. These guys are worked hard. I'm always impressed when you see these guys at Sprint and see how much they get done. It's really amazing. And it's also interesting when you compare like Sprint's RF design group, the RF engineers, compared to any of the other carriers. They seem much smaller, in my opinion. I mean, that's what I've seen. You can compare the numbers. But it looks like they're going to do something about that, and they're actually going to improve that. So that's one thing. The subscribers, like I said, they made modest gains, not as good as in the past, not as good as any other carrier, I don't think, but they weren't bleeding customers as bad as we all thought. I would imagine T-Mobile's putting a hurt into them, but maybe not as bad as we thought, because it seems like Sprint's holding on to everything. And in the earnings call, Marcelo Claré made it clear that he wanted to get people on with a good price, but he thought they would stay because of the great network. And I know that sounds good on paper. I mean, I like the theory. But let's face it, If shoppers at Walmart found a cheaper place to go, would they leave Walmart and go to that cheaper place? I think they would. I don't think they're going to buy the same crap at Walmart they can get somewhere else. Now, I know what he's saying is the network's great, the LTE speeds are great, which they actually have a Nielsen report that shows that their download speeds are better than any of the other major carriers. The other major carriers, T-Mobile, Verizon, and AT&T. And they actually show it in there, and I have a link to that article because I just find it interesting. You know, Sprint should be proud of that. But, I mean, they say they're using crowdsourcing to get the information. I know when you look at RootMetrics, you know, Sprint does well in some markets, and RootMetrics breaks it out very, you know, RootMetrics breaks it out by each thing, by number of dropped calls, the voice quality, the data quality, the upload speed, the download speed. All this talks about is specifically the LTE download speeds. And that's what I find interesting. But hey, if they're number one, why not brag about it? Why not go out and let everyone know you're the greatest? I get it. Now, let's talk about densification. We talked about all the pros of Sprint, what's going on. The densification's a plan that they came up with, and they did talk about that a little bit in the call. And it's interesting because they covered several different things. So let me start with what sites are going to put out there. Now, everyone assumes small cells, right? Because when they think of a pole, they think of small cells, or you would think of something like that, like ODAS or C-RAN, you know, basically the same thing. And what you would do, you would just expect them to put small cells out there. But the reality is, they're going to not only put small cells out there, but mini macros. Now, what is a mini macro? Or is, I heard it called macro mini. Depends who you listen to. But let's just, for this sake, call it a mini macro. I explained this before, and it's in my book, The Wireless Deployment Handbook, the LTE Small Cell C-RAN and DAS Edition, which is for sale. Look at my website. Now, what is a mini macro? A mini macro is basically a standalone E-Node B. What's an E-Node B? It's basically the base station, right? The BTS. The base station is what they use at the macro sites. But normally a macro site has, let's say, a minimum of three base stations, three E-Node Bs. And normally, you know, just hypothetically, one would face north, one would face southwest, and one would face southeast. And you would get 360 degrees of coverage if that's what you needed. You know, there's always, if you put it on the water, you point it towards a population, maybe not over the water, but there are boats on the water. So it depends, you know, but they basically point a directional antenna in the direction they want it. Hence a macro site. That's why you have such heavy loading at the macro site, normally a fiber backhaul. And it's, well, in Sprint's case, some of the carriers have shelters at sites, but now they're pretty much all putting in just cabinets. And the reason they're doing that is because the tower owners are charging per square foot on the ground and they're charging for space on the tower. And I get it. It's a business, right? They're in it to make money. But that's why a lot of these carriers now are just putting outdoor cabinets in. And if you ever worked in the Northeast and working on a working on a cabinet in the rain or in a snowstorm or in the dead of winter when it's freezing out, yeah, you guessed it. It sucks. I really hate it. So for those guys, all you guys working out in this cold weather, climbers too, the climbers, the engineers, the techs that all have to go out there and do something, God bless you. Seriously. I know it sounds crazy, but geez, I hated working in the cold. So that was me. You also have to work in the heat. You have other, you know, threats. I'm not going to get into that now. But basically that what a mini macro is, I know I'm getting way off point. What a mini macro is, what they've done, they've taken one E-node B and they put it at a pole. Let's say on a pole. Just say poles for hypothetically. You could put it in a building top or anything. And normally, just to make this easy, they would just take one E-node B, which would be the BBU, probably batteries, and the cabling, and then maybe a radio head, either up at the antenna or down at the BBU. Depends how they put it. And then they would have an antenna at the top. Now, they could have a directional antenna or an omni antenna, most likely an omni antenna for transmit and receive. So that's what a mini macro would be. How many frequencies, channels, that's up to the carrier, what they want to do. I think the carriers aren't going to just put every channel everywhere. I think what they're going to do with these are put the new channels out there. And in Sprint's case, I would guess, purely a guess, they would probably put 2.5 gig out there, but who knows? They might put 800 meg. I think they can do LTE on any channel. Depends on the spectrum they have, the area of the country, and so on. But it's actually a good plan. I like it. Now, pros and cons. Let's think about this. If it's a small cell, it's going to cover a very small area. So you want to be low, you want to be with the crowd. So you really don't really care to go over, say, 10 or 15 or 20 feet, let's say at the highest. With a mini macro, let's say you're putting out 20. Oh, I didn't cover one thing for the mini macro. Nokia makes a mini macro base station, which is basically just a small cell that puts out 20 watts or more. And an eNode B usually puts out, let's say, 30 watts or more. It's higher power unit. Now, to compare, a small cell generally puts out, say, 5 watts on the outdoor sites. They have ones that do 10 watts. Depends what you want to do. Depends what you want to cover. Depends on your antenna. Let the RF engineers work that out. But normally when we're talking mini macro, we're talking a higher power unit, which means you want to keep it away from the general population a little more. And yes, there are rules and regulations with how much power you can put close to it. So when you have an indoor small cell, it's usually less than a watt. When you have a Wi-Fi unit, I think Wi-Fi is less than, and someone can correct me here, normally less than a watt outside and probably less than 300 milliwatts inside. So a carrier would probably have similar guidelines. I'm pretty sure they're less than a watt inside and probably less than 5 watts outside if they're real low. If they're higher, 10 watts, and then the mini macros, you would probably want, you know, a little more vertical separation, right? So what I'm looking at here is a couple different things. You know, Nokia does make that unit. It's an all-in-one unit. It's a high-power unit. It's pretty cool, actually. Airspan might make something, too. I don't know. I didn't research that. If Airspan does, I apologize. I know they make an outdoor small cell that's up to 10 watts, I'm pretty sure. So what do you want to do with a mini macro when you put it on a pole? And I'll get into mounting the poles and how we're going to deploy the poles next, but let's just talk about the base station. So the mini macro, what you're going to have there is separation. You're going to need, like, I would say 30 foot above the population minimum. But I think what Sprint wanted to do originally was get 70 or 80 foot up. But how are you going to do that with all the ordinances there are in these municipalities and everything? If you're going out in the country where there isn't anybody, you can probably go 100 foot up on a pole. But one, you have to find a 100 foot pole. If you've ever installed poles, which I have done in the past, wood poles, not personally installed, but, you know, I've actually done projects where we installed poles. To find the larger pole in the East Coast is not an easy thing. Now, if you're putting up steel poles, we call that a monopole. That's a tower anyway, right? So I don't know how Sprint's going to get around that. I don't know how they're going to do the higher power, the separation, and the height. Because generally, you want above the cluster data. You know what I mean? That's like the buildings and everything in the area, the houses. You want a little bit of height, get the most coverage. That's generally what you want with a mini macro. Are they going to get it? I don't know. Maybe they'll go up 30 foot and that'll be enough. They'll just pound the areas with RF, which is not a problem with that. I'm just saying. The other aspect of it is you have to have the area to put it in. So when you're putting in, the most likely scenario for Sprint would be they're going to take something they have in stock, like an eNode B they have in stock, or rip it out of a macro site because they don't want to spend money on equipment, right? So they're going to take what they have rather than buy something brand new from Nokia, at least not till they have to. They're going to take something they have and install it out on these poles. So the way they're going to do that is they'll take a cabinet, put it down low, put the full-size BBU in it or a smaller BBU, and also put batteries under it, I would imagine. And this is a guess on my part. And they'll mount everything, just like I said. But they still want the height, the separation, and they have to go through all the permitting and zoning for that. And I'll get into that in a minute. But there you have a general idea of what's out at the site. Okay? You have an idea of what a mini macro is. A small cell is very easy. It's self-contained. You might have a small box down low for the router. They may have the small cell below and run the antenna up top, or they may have everything mounted at the top of the pole. Generally, these small cells have routers built into them. They generally like fiber, but you can have microwave too. And I'll get into that in a minute too. That'll be part of the backhaul segment. So now you have a good idea of what a mini macro, a small cell is out at a site. Now, what about backhaul? Should we talk about that next or should we talk about the poles? All right, we'll talk about backhaul. So the backhaul could be three things. The most common is fiber. That's the most common. Whether it's for small cells or anything else, it's commonly fiber. The next most common thing is some type of microwave. Now, microwave could be point-to-point or point-to-multipoint. And the third thing is what I call a UE relay. And what that is using in-band spectrum. You know, your front-haul spectrum is backhaul. And I'll go into each one. First, fiber is fiber, right? You make the connectivity. It could be dark fiber that goes to a specific site or all the way back to the core, dedicated fiber. Just think a lease line, only fiber with massive bandwidth, okay? Just think of something like that. You could have fiber run into an internet, which would be like a cable company or a phone company provides you fiber with an internet connection, which is probably a little more cost effective than dark fiber. Dark fiber is very expensive to run. You own the whole thing. It's dedicated. You'd probably run that back to another cell site. I think that's what Verizon does, or back to a specific area where all the fibers can cluster together and then connect back to the core. The other, you could have copper. I didn't mention copper. Copper could be just a copper line, a lease line, a Cat 5 line, you know, something that ties into the internet normally. It could be the cable company gives you access to the internet. You go to the internet and you just VPN either back to the core or to another site, depending upon how the billing is. But let's go into the next one. The next one's microwave. To have microwave, you could have point to point, which would go directly back to a tower site or to another site where all your fiber is put together, and that would be your hub site. So you would basically have spokes back to a hub. Now, when I say point to point, that's usually licensed microwave. You know, it could be way up in the 80, 90, 70 gig, you know, up in the E-band area, 60, 70 gig. It could be 23 gig, something very short haul. If you have multi-point or even point to point, it could be 5.8 gig, which is license free and you put it out there. A lot of the E-band stuff, I think, is lightly licensed. You just license it very short haul. It's easy. I don't think you'll see any traditional microwave. And when I say traditional, like, I don't think you'll see 6 gig because they're huge dishes. Maybe not. I don't think you'll see 11 gig or anything like that, just because the dishes would be so huge. It wouldn't be practical to put that on a pole or on a small cell. But what the 5.8 is very common because it's easy to deploy. It's multi-point. And a lot of times I see a lot of the carriers put that up waiting for fiber, you know, or they may put it up waiting to see what the loading's going to be on the site. And if the loading's heavy, they'll order fiber. Fiber is very expensive to install. I know we always talk about the upfront costs of microwave, but man, microwave got cheap. It's really cheap to install now. So you would just put microwave in. Now, the third option is to use your in-band backhaul. In Sprint's case, it would probably be the 2.5 gigahertz backhaul. And it's something we call UE relay, which is user equipment relay, normally because it's in-band to in-band. So all that would do, you just have to connect to another cell site and it would be in band. It would be very easy to do. And I know Airspan and I think Nokia both make small cell units that already have this inclusive. So you would just go up there. It would be just like you're setting, you know what to compare it to? Set your cell phone up to be a hotspot for Wi-Fi. Very similar to that, only have an Ethernet connection that's probably Cat 5 or Cat 6. And that would go back to some other site. The good news is if you lose one site, in theory, it should roam to another site. The bad news is you're using that prime spectrum, which is prime real estate in carrier land, prime spectrum to use for backhaul, that prime spectrum for backhaul. I'll spit it out here, folks. Bear with me. Prime spectrum for backhaul. And the other thing is it's going to be very limited in growth, because you don't want to use too much of this spectrum because you still have customers to serve. So now you're going to dedicate so much for backhaul and dedicate so much for front haul. The good news is it seems like Sprint has a lot of the 2.5 gig spectrum. The bad news is people are using up spectrum and they just bragged about the large download speed. So I imagine that would come into play in the future when they need more download speeds, or when they do 5G, or when they do LTEA and they need more bandwidth. And we all know they're not going to bid on AWS, well, I'm sorry, on the 600 megahertz auction. We all know they're not in that, so we don't expect much of that. Hey, the good news is with about microwave, with Clearwire, they probably have a lot of DragonWave equipment around, and Sprint has shown they like to reuse whatever they have. If they got all that DragonWave backhaul equipment, they should really use it, because that was a good deal for DragonWave. I can't imagine them ordering too much new equipment when they have tons of that laying around, unless they scrapped it. Is it going to be constraints on backhaul and in future growth? Even with microwave, yeah. Future growth, you're going to be limited. Fiber is what everyone likes, but fiber costs a lot of money. So anyway, now let's talk about the sites themselves. There's been a lot, discussion on what Sprint is going to do about the macro sites and the mini macro sites and the small cell sites, the poles. And my friend Ken Schmidt wrote a good article, which I put on link in there on LinkedIn, about he's from Steel in the Air. That's the name of his company. I think he owns it. I think it's literally his company, Ken's company. So I put a link in there to his article, and he makes it very clear that Sprint can't just make these changes overnight. And this is all back to that article at Recode. It's just funny how that article got us all talking, and it also affected everyone's Sprint price, which just shows you how powerful a blog post is. I mean, think about it. Sprint stock dropped 9%. American Tower and Crown Castle stock dropped, what, a couple percent? It's just interesting that people would listen to that one thing and pass judgment immediately. So if you sold your stock then, that sucks. If you bought your stock then, maybe it'll be good. I don't know how many people were on a buying spree for Sprint stock, though. I'm going to be honest with you. All right, let's get back to this. So how are they going to move the sites? Well, or why would they move the sites? How are they going to save money? That's the question. How is Sprint going to save money with these sites? Well, let me tell you something. What they're going to do, they're going to go in these polls, which is cheaper. However, calculations, and this is purely a guess, my educated guess would be about 30 mini macro or small cell sites because of height would probably match a tower, right? It would probably be 10 small cell sites per e-node B, which I think if Sprint goes mini macro, they think they can match up, but you really need the height to match it. I don't see you getting the height with the poles. But if they can deploy these poles, here's how they save money. If they go through a Crown Castle or someone like that that owns a lot of poles, they're probably going to pay a good bit of money. And they probably don't want to use Crown's fiber backhaul, even though it's there, and Crown's power and everything. For whatever reason, they probably want to do it all themselves. Should they do it themselves? Listen, that's up to you. I'm just telling you what I'm guessing at here, what I see, what I hear the people talking about. Two, if they go on a utilities pole, it's way cheaper because the utility company is going to ask for much less rent in a pole. It's going to still be way cheaper than a tower company. So, however, when you go on a utilities pole or when you go on a mall, like on one of their lamp posts, it's up to you to provide everything. The backhaul, which in Sprint's case are going to try to do everything but fiber to save money. And you're also going to have to mount your own equipment, pull your own permits, and get all that done. And when you pull your own permits and everything, you have to do what the city wants you to do. I know a lot of these guys are trying to do what they want to do, but you got to find balance, whether you agree with it or not. And I know the FCC said you can put your site up and everything, but the city can still come back and say, this is how we want it. And that their cities and the municipalities are going to learn quick. They're going to watch what's going on in other cities, and they're going to change their rules for the way that they want it. San Francisco is a good example. I have some links in there from San Francisco about explaining all this. Now, since I brought up San Francisco, the third option that they could go is a right-of-way pole. And that's something that we all talk about, like in a lot of these articles, is right-of-way, because right-of-way they can put a pole in for next to no rent, is my understanding. You still pay something, not sure who you pay, but you can put in a right-of-way pole, and then all you have to run, you put the pole in, all you have to run is power, right, and backhaul. And then mount your stuff there. Again, you got to go through the permitting process. You can't just throw it up. You got to get permission from the city or municipality, but it's dirt cheap. I mean, it's really a better way to go. However, there are still restrictions on it. You have to meet. You can't go over a certain height. You can't just throw everything in there. You can't be too ugly, too noisy. If it's residential, you really got to be concerned about noise. If it's business, you really got to pay attention to what you're putting in. So it does matter. Now, I have links in there to explain more about right away, but if you're going to put a lot of these poles in and start migrating off macro, you would save money. I can see it in the long run on the OpEx. However, upfront installation, you're going to spend a lot of money. Now, with Sprint's plan, Mobility is going to spend that money. Now, I don't know how Mobility is going to get paid back from Sprint. It's going to be some rent-to-own thing or some way they're going to get their money back. So Mobility has to put a lot of money out front to make this thing happen. It's going to be one of those things that they're just going to spend a lot of money before they get any payback. I mean, it's really something to think about. All right. So that's how they're going to save money on the polls. I don't know if I made that very clear. You can read my blog. Hopefully that'll help. But I want you to think about, like, the mini macro, what you really want is height. And I don't know if they're going to get a height on the polls. It's just something to think about. Hey, another thing is, we talked about the shift in Sprint's layoffs. You know, they're laying off all those people, getting rid of customer service and adding engineers and salespeople. But the other thing to think about is network support. I know that their current contract with Ericsson Management Services is going to be up soon. So that's going to be something to think about, because someone's got to maintain the network, right? I mean, it's just something to think about. It's one more change that Sprint's going to go through this year. Will they save money? Yeah. Is Ericsson going to win it again? I would bet Sprint's going to go the lowest bidder. Why wouldn't they, right? That's their job, to save money. And like I said, they're going to lay off 2,500 employees, which are mostly customer care people, but they're going to bring back 1,300 engineers and salespeople. So if you're looking for a job, get on the Sprint website now, especially for the people that listen to this, because you're probably mostly engineers. Just something, again, just throwing it out there. Now, I know that everyone's looking not only at Sprint, but also at SoftBank, because it just seems on the network densification plan, it was really up to SoftBank based on what they did in Japan. There's a lot of people, you know, they say Japan and the U.S. are different. But one thing I learned with SoftBank, you know, they'll adapt, improvise, and overcome. They will take on the challenge, and they're trying to be innovative. Is it innovation, or is it just nuts? I guess we'll see. I'm hoping it's innovative. I hope we see some good things come out of this. If anything else, we will have a lot of lessons learned. That's what I see. And I was hoping that maybe LightSquared would take off, but LightSquared's pretty well done. I was hoping that they would be the innovative ones, but instead they just went bankrupt. It's very expensive to start up a system, especially when you're going up against the big boys. And what else? And yeah, you know, it's a shame they didn't have another plan. I don't know what happened there. But with Sprint, you know, there's still work going on. That's another thing I want to bring up. The contractors are still deploying 2.5 gig. It's just very little. It's just not much, if hardly at all, you know, but it is out there. It's not like Sprint just stopped. They're still trying to grow their network and do a little bit, but it's teeny tiny little bit compared to, say, what Verizon's doing or what T-Mobile's doing. Verizon and T-Mobile, like I said, they're still going steady at it. They aren't backing down. They want better networks. They want densification. They're doing it their way. So I think the other thing to remember is that mobility is also rolling this out as we speak. They're learning their lessons as we speak. They aren't trying to cut corners. Well, they're probably trying to cut corners and save costs the best way they can, but they are rolling out and they're going to learn from that. So just because they aren't going gangbusters, they actually have some sites out there. You know, we see the applications. The other thing I want to talk about was Ian Gallat wrote a great article in RCR about why this is suicide, network suicide is what he calls it, for Sprint. But I think if we learn the facts, I don't think Sprint's just going to set this plan in motion and say, this is where we're going, take it or leave it. I think what they're going to do is actually set this plan in motion and then pivot, try to correct it as it goes. You know, I think they're going to be very flexible. I think they're going to have to be. With that said, it's a Japanese company. Maybe they're hardcore. I know mobility's been pushing to get things their way, but when you push, people are going to push back, especially the cities and municipalities, and they have to make peace with those people. They just do. They got to work together. It's a team effort, people. Now, the last thing I want to bring up is there was an article about there was Huawei gear still in the Sprint network. Well, technically, it's still in the Clearwire network, because Clearwire, they can't take down the network because of that lawsuit. As you know, in the U.S., the carriers aren't allowed to use Huawei gear because the imminent threat of the Chinese spy issue. But I still think that, you know, Huawei will probably be in here sooner or later at some point. And now I think Huawei's up to the point where they can't just give the equipment away anymore. When they first came out, man, their equipment was cheap. Hey, I don't have anything against Huawei. They have great equipment. They seem to be doing very well overseas. They're a big hit in Canada. And I think that's maybe eventually someday they'll be here, but you know, the U.S., we're just very paranoid about stuff like that. It's just the way it is. But as far as that goes, it's still in the Clearwire network, and Sprint's trying to get rid of that Clearwire network to free up the 2.5 gig spectrum. They just can't do it everywhere yet. I'm sure they will sooner or later. I have a link to Ian Gallat's article in RCR. It's found there. Go crazy. Check it out. I also have links to the earnings call and the transcript. It's also in there. Click on it, wadeforwireless.com. And I also have my other Sprint post, because I did write about Sprint before. This is long. I apologize. But I just wanted to cover Sprint in detail for you guys. So if you want to give me feedback, get on my website, wadeforwireless.com. And if you scroll all the way down, you'll see my form for feedback. I just like to know what you guys think about Sprint. All you deployment teams out there, if you know what's going on, or if you're doing work for Sprint or mobility, if you're doing work for mobility, hey, let me know. So if you stuck with me this long, thank you. I appreciate it. Be smart, be safe, pay attention. See ya.